Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS... Let the resin hit the floor.
Don't cyclobenzaprine in print.
Come down, period.
Taste the Duke.
There's a little trunk in the front.
I bike uphill both ways in the hail.
Bird triage.
The axis of pain and time.
Florian Gadsby, destined for pottery.
Chicharron and Chongaron.
Poorly drawn elephant.
I got to ride my bicycle. I've got to ride my bike.
Bigger than a sparrow. Smaller than a wren.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ooma-mow-mow. Ba-ba-ooma-mow-mow. Have you heard the word about the bird? Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Arrogant cephalopods with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Take the remote unit from its handy storage space, and you're set for hours of pure pleasure.
Like an unflushed turd.
She's only your girl because she ain't had a taste of the Duke yet. This is The Morning Stream.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for June 22nd, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. And that is Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
This right here is Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Yep.
This is Tired
Ibbett, we call him. He's sitting Tired today. Ibbett. Been riding that bike, getting ready for the MS-150 this weekend.
Yeah. Can I, since we're talking about why I'm tired, can we jump to this item right here in our show notes?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do the morning for
us? No, let's do it. Go ahead. Let's get in
there. All right. So... part of the reason I'm tired is that I was having a little bit of a backache yesterday.
Yeah.
After I did a 12-mile training ride yesterday. I'm going to try and do a 24-mile one today.
When do you start that, by the way? Is it right after the show? Is it, you know?
Right after the show. So, you know, us doing a little bit shorter show today actually kind of works out for me in temperature-wise because, we're at 65. We're at the magic number.
Oh, the magic number. Yeah.
Magic number. 60, 65, 66 magic temperature for me because it's not too hot, not too cool.
Yeah, sounds
right. And it comes with a slice of cantaloupe at the side on the side. So I did a 12-mile. My back was hurting last night. So I'm like, you know what? I've got these cyclobenzaprines that that my physical therapist ordered for me, prescribed for me to take, you know, with back issues.
Right. They're like muscle relaxers or something, right?
They're muscle relaxants. And I have a couple different levels. I've got baclofen, which is mild and doesn't make me super drowsy. And then cyclobenzaprines, which just go, pah, and I'm out. I'm out like a light.
Yeah.
So last night I took one of those before bed. Boom, out like a light.
Yeah.
But the problem is that with those, I wake up super groggy and super, not dizzy, just groggy, just tired. It's like I'm slogging through molasses.
I hate that feeling. It's the worst feeling. Yeah.
And so I come down to my office and I look over, and a 3D print that was supposed to go overnight didn't work. Like the print didn't stick to the build plate at all. So I'm like, oh crud. Okay. Well, and the only thing you can do is empty out the vat of resin. And then peel the failed print off of the plate, put resin back in, and try the print again. But right. it's this long process where you've got to basically empty out the vat with all the resin in it back into the bottle, and then start the whole thing over. And I've got to clean it and do all this stuff. So I start that process. I pull out my little rubber gloves and I unscrew the two screws holding the vat down, and I get out this little funnel contraption that I have that holds the, it's really cool, holds the funnel above the bottle. Yeah. It's actually, you know what it is? It's a pour over coffee thing that you put, usually put coffee grounds in there and pour hot water, and the hot water goes through the coffee grounds into the cup, and you got coffee.
Yeah.
But in this case, I use it for resin. So I put in the little glass funnel. I put a little filter in there to catch any bits of resin that did get cooked that would be impure in the mix. Then I unscrew the little vat and I tip it up and I start pouring, and I get about maybe a quarter cup of resin through the thing before I realize I didn't put the bottle of resin underneath the funnel to catch the resin. And I've poured a quarter cup of resin all over. I'm like, it went right through the funnel, all over the little pour over coffee thing, all over the table. It's dripping onto the floor. And this stuff is thick like, what's a good comparison? Thinner than maple syrup. You know, it's about as thin as cheap Mrs. Butterworth's syrup
okay.
that you get.
Okay. No, that consistency rings true if you're describing yeah. resin to me. So is this in the car? You got carpet in that room, right?
I have carpet in that room, but fortunately I have my old standing desk mat in this room. And that's what it poured onto. So I'm like, okay, well, thank goodness for that. Yeah. But basically it was an hour and 15 minutes of me mopping up all of that spilled resin, using alcohol to clean things, to clean everything. I had to change the FEP sheet, the little clear plastic sheet that's on the bottom of the vat, because the print wasn't peeling off of it, and I didn't want to tear the vat. Freaking nightmare. And basically, that's how I spent the first hour and 15 minutes of my day. So, lesson to learn, don't do 3D printing on cyclobenzaprine.
Mm, yeah.
And here's where we get messages from Geek Jock and Jerry Tolbert,
yeah.
Dr. Tolbert, about, well, here's some stuff you should know about cyclobenzaprine. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, just so people understand, this is actually kind of an interesting feature of the show. If we talk about anything yeah. medical, whether it's you and I take a visit to a doctor, or we're talking about a medical condition, or we're talking about medication,
yeah.
Almost 100% of the time when the show's over, we have this very special little Discord group where either Dr. Tolbert or our pharmacist expert Dan will pipe in, because they know this stuff.
They know. Yep.
So they'll tell us where we went wrong or right.
And, here's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to predict it right now. One of them, Geek Jock or Dr. Tolbert, is going to say, you should probably take those a couple hours before bedtime so that you can come down off them in the morning before you get up.
They get a longer, I don't know if half-life fits this, but a longer half-life, like a...
Yeah, the equivalent of whatever that is, right? Yeah. The come-down period.
Yeah. And I hate that feeling of, like, almost all sleep aids have this problem. They make you feel groggy and horrible. These obviously aren't sleep aids. They have a side effect of making you drowsy and sleepy, but maybe in the end it's sort of the same. It's like a hangover, kind of, but not quite.
Kind of, yeah.
I hate that feeling.
Oh, so bad. So that's why one of the reasons I'm sitting down today instead of standing. I'm almost always standing for the show, but today I'm sitting is because my back's still a little tender. I'm going to still do the 24 today, and I'm going to take tomorrow off and not do any riding tomorrow so that I can recuperate in time for Saturday morning.
Yep, and that starts bright and early, right? Like
it does. Yeah. The rest of the team, so we've got two starts. One's at 6:30, and the team that does the 75-mile is doing the 6:30 start, and I'm doing the 8:30 start with a couple other members of the team, including Aunt Barb.
Aunt Barb.
Me and Aunt Barb, we're going to do the 32-mile ride, which...
That's 2 miles longer than I thought. I thought it was just a 30, but I guess.
It's 30. It's 32. I should send you, because you're like, 32, piece of cake. Sure, Scott.
I will never say those words, but please send this to me. I will always say 30 sounds like a lot.
All right, click that link I just put in our Discord. That is the route.
Here we go, chat.
For the 32-mile ride.
There we go. Oh, that's a big chest. A lot.
It's a lot. And if you look at the bottom, that is the elevation of the ride. So spread that out over 32 miles, and it's like, okay.
You got a mile 10 that's really going to take you high.
Mile 10, exactly.
Yeah.
Like mile 8, like mile 9 and 10, it's like, a nice little 200-foot increase, then a little bit of a drop, then another 100 feet, and then
also when you get around to about Like getting down to 25, from 20 to 25 is going to feel great. Look at that.
Oh, it's going to feel great. Yeah. That is coasting. That is like I'm going to be coasting all the way down.
Yeah. But then at the end, you're like, oh, got
to
go up.
Then I have to do another freaking uphill push to get to the finish line. It's like, oh, that'll be, oh, no, it's going to suck again.
It's a lot.
How is it possible that it's an uphill both at the beginning of the ride and the end of the ride when we start and finish at the same place? That's a geographical anomaly.
That is true. Also, I see kind of a poorly drawn elephant in the route. If you look at it, there's a weird little trunk in the front there.
Oh, where
head.
Is it? Whereabouts?
Just your whole route.
Oh,
image.
the whole route.
Yeah, it looks like a chunky elephant, man.
Is it the Mario elephant?
Maybe a little bit. Boy, that got me excited yesterday. That looks awesome.
Yeah, I know. I'm
proper
excited.
Proper Mario, man. We haven't had a proper like new Mario side scroller since the Wii U, because technically the other one on Switch is a port of that. So
right,
kind of awesome. Right. Well, anyway, you're going to do great, and you'll be all rested
it's
up.
It's going to be so much fun.
That's right. Friday will be your recoup. And then Saturday will be your hell, and then Sunday, crash.
And then
Monday we're back here talking about it. All right.
Yep. Exactly. Monday I have a physical therapy appointment where she's going to say, "You did what?" Mm. It's going to be the first words out of her mouth.
Oh yeah.
She's going to be, Dr. Jenny is going to be like, "You did what?
You did? I'm sorry. 30 what? No, what?
Yeah."
She's going to give you hell.
What, are you trying to hurt yourself more, Brian?
I mean, you know, obviously for general fitness, biking is great. But if you're in the middle of a regimen of physical therapy, she's probably going to be like, well, maybe not the first thing I would have chosen for you to be doing.
Yeah. And let's be honest, this is how many actual training rides have I done this year? Six. This will be six today. So it kind of hasn't gone well for like my back getting on the bike for the last couple months that I should have been doing the training ride. So
I'm kind of a
dumbass.
Well, don't forget, because this is our last real show before the MS-150. Oh, yes. You can still do donations. Huge thanks to everybody who has, but you can keep going if you want. Get in there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Massive thanks. There's so many of you listeners who have donated, and there's too many to go into. You guys have pushed me well past the target donation, and none of this goes to me, obviously. This all goes to MS and finding a cure and doing tests. One of the guys on my team who has MS, our leader, a guy named Steve, is he's been on trials, like on medication trials for MS, where when they show the effectiveness and they show that little graph, he's one of the dots. Like they have a scatter chart and they show the dots of the different reactions that people have had to it. He gets to point out and say, like, I'm that dot right there, that's me, and where how it's affected me.
So what does his dot say? Does it, his dot indicate something more than just he was a guy in the test? It says he
yeah
had
just
a
the
reaction,
you know,
it's
like effectiveness, like one axis is pain, and another one is time or something like that, and he can point to it and say, yeah, this taking this has put me here over the amount of time that it took that I was taking the drug. So
wild.
Yeah,
well, that's cool.
It's he's great. He is like, there are a lot of inspiring people on our team, people with MS, Aunt Barb of course being the major one for me, the most inspiring of the people on our team. But Steve is also the most freaking positive person you will ever meet. The guy never has a frown on his face. He's never, I mean, the guy is awesome, and he looks like Chandler Bing.
Oh,
I need to get a picture of him and post it, because he looks like if Matthew Perry was a cyclist.
So Matthew Perry in his prime, probably.
In his prime, yes, exactly.
Maybe
yes.
Not now so much.
Maybe not now so much. Maybe more during the immediately post Friends days.
Mm-hmm. Before the drugs really took over.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly.
A mess. Or was a mess. I guess he's clean.
So anyway, just one last big thank you to everybody who's donated. And I read all of your notes on the messages that you leave on the MS-150 site when you leave your donation. And to all of you, I say, Fert, love the show though. Back at you. And thank you for the go Brian go messages.
All the proper tadpole responses. I love it.
Yes, they've checked every box.
That's right. Okay, a couple of quick things. Just a reminder about Monday's morning forum giveaway. If you haven't gotten in there already, please do. It's your favorite go-to junk food. It's not a poll. It's a questionnaire. You're going to tell us what your guilty pleasure is when it comes to food like that. So go to it now, frogpants.com/themorningform, and fill it out if you haven't yet. Also, I want to give an update on the bird. So I haven't talked about it on the show, but we've been talking about this bird, mostly on Twitter.
It's on Twitter, yeah.
So a bird swooped. We don't even know what kind of bird. We think it's like a, not a sparrow, but something in that
bigger
family.
Than a sparrow, like almost a wren, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not, I don't know. I don't know if Carter ever figured it out. She was going to try to figure it out, but I think she's in the chat, so maybe she can say it. But anyway, this thing swoops down and slammed into the side of a car, as best we can tell. That's where we found it. Mm-hmm. And Dylan actually found it when he was coming into the house with the kids the other day, brought Carter out there, and Carter went into immediate, you know, triage mode and was going to try to save this bird. And it was a real opportunity to make up for that one I ran over in 2011, if you'll all recall that, or 2013, whatever it was. Anyway, so she's been working on this bird for a few days. She had gotten it to eat more regularly, got him little worms, live worms, at the pet store. We got water and a droplet thing, and he was gaining strength, was seeming to get his, basically just seemed to be concussed to the point that he couldn't stand up or fly. Like he was, he just really dizzy. And would always like kind of lay back and look like it was kind of like the world was spinning for him or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But lots of energy, kind of defensive, you know, it's good signs that, that it's course. Fighting and whatever. So she could get it to drink and get it to eat. And over a 2-3 day period, this bird was doing so much better, was starting to really show promise. And then yesterday just quietly passed away.
Aw.
Yeah. And some people said, well, Scott, you should have found a sanctuary. Well, we had a perfect one, and then they got I don't know what happened. They had to pull the plug. They had to go away. Mm. And so they're gone now. And we didn't really know where to take it, so we just did our best and tried. We kept him really comfortable. We had him in his own little space and made sure he was eating and drinking. And he was eating and drinking, which usually is a sign, a really good sign things are going good.
Yeah.
And he was pooping, another good sign. Because birds poop all the time, and when they're doing that, it's a good sign their body's working.
Yep.
And it didn't work in the end. He passed away yesterday. So that's the update on the bird.
Oh, that's a bummer. Yeah. Carter says gray cat bird.
Gray cat? I've never
gray,
heard of a cat
I've
bird.
Never heard of that, but let's see. Catbirds instinctively recognize imposter eggs by memorizing the look of their first egg and tossing all non-matching eggs. So basically, you know how there are some birds that put their own eggs into a nest when nobody's in there, so they can, you know, they can get those hatched in. Catbirds are like, nope, this is BS. I'm not gonna sit on this egg.
Yeah, you're not gonna fool me with this fake egg that isn't my egg. So Chad, there's a picture of one. That's basically what he looked like. He even had the little dark head thing.
Yeah,
but he just slammed into it is like a toupee. He just slammed into that car, and it just was too much, I guess, in the end. So anyway, there is the sad tale. We tried, did our best.
Yeah, Mariah even says that I've got tons of those at my feeder, and they run into my window a lot. I hope I pronounced that right. Is it Mariah? Mariah?
Mariah? I kind of like that. Yeah. If that's true,
yeah,
Mariah.
Cool too.
Ooh. Anyway, there's your update on the bird, everybody.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. That's what's going on in the world. Okay, Brian's sitting. I'm sitting. I got Altoids.
I have ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Ooh, one. Just one ibuprofen left.
Oh, no, Brian.
One ibuprofen left.
What are you going to do?
A little sad gel tab, gel cap.
That's
not enough.
What will you ever do now? Okay.
I will ride my bike to Walgreens and get some more ibuprofen.
There's a guy out there. I know a bunch of you do this. There's somebody out there who listens to the show at 2x speed. Okay.
Okay.
I would like to mess with that person real quick. And I'm going
to
do it.
Hope they're listening to the show live at 2x speed.
Oh, that'd be
because
weird, wouldn't it?
They could tell us what we said about 5 minutes from now.
That's right.
They're ahead of us.
That's right. Okay, so how? Oh yeah, here it is. Okay, I'm going to set this to. I want him to. Okay, so here it goes. I'm going to play a portion of our show. Oh no, this is core. Well, it won't matter. Same thing. Here we go. No. Hold on. What the heck? Why is it all music?
No. Oh. I think this opened the door to the possibility of those other games existing.
Okay. Did that sound normal? Did that sound normal to the 2x person?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
Or did that sound...
Because that was at half speed?
That's at half speed. That's at 0.5 speed.
Oh.
If I change it to... This is just these thoughts I had this morning. It was all very dumb. Now, if I do this, does this just drive him crazy? Because here it is at 2x speed.
Oh, God.
RPG, they don't exist. So, I, for one, super stoked that they're doing this, and I will play the living
Now, what did I do to his brain there? Did I really foul this dude up?
Oh, my God. No, I'm hearing it at 4x speed. Oh, my God.
I got questions. I got questions about how that works for people's heads, because I cannot, for the life of me, alter the speed of playback for podcasts. I've tried. I can't stand it. And everyone says, you get used to it. Like, no, I don't. I don't get used to it.
Yeah. It's now, really Crazy annoying. Neighbor listens to audiobooks at that speed. Good segue into Amy here, but he listens to audiobooks at that speed. And sometimes when we get in his car, it'll continue playing his audiobook. And I'm like, how can you listen to this? I guess you get used to it, and you just basically, once you get used to it, it's easy.
But, I guess so. It just takes a long time to get used to it, because I tried for a good 20 minutes once, and I hated it so much. I never got used to it, but I never get used to this either.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Oh, I never get used to having Amy here. I guess I'm used to it, but I never get used to how great it is. How about that? That's what I meant to say.
There we go. Good recovery.
Nice save there. Amy, welcome back to the program. It's Read This with Amy. Amy comes on the show and talks about books that we should maybe check out or be reading. We're all big fans of reading here. And she does that every week. Hi, Amy. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Did you get your computer working? How are you guys doing? I heard your computer was weird. Did you change? Did you fix it?
Yeah, it just needed a couple. Well, I mean, sort of. Hmm. So I...
Did you throw some clay at it?
Well, it's funny you mention. I actually do have clay all over my monitor in the studio downstairs. Kind of funny. Just because I make a mess.
Yeah.
You know, so I have decided that that's actually my little it's not a tagline because it comes at the beginning, but sure. I guess my little catchphrase that I say at the beginning. I'm like, come on, let's make a mess.
Why not?
Never trust a clean potter.
No. If you see like a really clean pottery wheel or even like studio space or the person themselves, I don't trust the pottery you're making.
No.
You may as well be lying to me.
Never trust a skinny chef and never trust a clean potter.
That's right.
We do clean our space really well after we're done because everybody likes to start off with a nice clean workspace.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when we go to the community studio, it's really irritating when somebody doesn't do a good job of cleaning the space afterwards.
It's like a gym. You want people to wipe down the equipment, you know?
Icky.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to deal with their ugly pot that they were just there making. I get it.
Right. And Claire, you and the BJ thing. So I have this jar that I've been making, and I call it my bee jar because if you've watched any of my little videos or anything, I have a lidded jar that I made, and the top of the lid has a bee on it, like a bumblebee.
Like what you grab is the bumblebee's body to lift up the jar lid, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And so, yeah, I was talking about that jar on my live stream the other day, and Claire, of course, wants me to call it the BJ for short.
Oh, the blood. I see the bee jar. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. The bee jar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see what she's doing there.
So, it's still in the kiln after its for its final firing, and so this is the part where it gets really. It's a little nerve wracking, you know, because you have to trust. One day we'll have our own kiln, but it'll still be nerve wracking because it'll be up to whatever chemical reactions and whatnot happen inside the kiln. But it'll be less so because there won't be the added danger of like a studio assistant dropping it or something. If I drop it, it's down to me.
Yeah.
Right. But
sure.
You ever have anything explode in the kiln? Just like pop and you're like, oh no, I've lost my bee or whatever. You know?
Yeah. So we were doing what's called a raku firing, which if you've never done or seen raku pottery, it's really cool. It's like, it's all, you know, outside you heat the piece up to a really, really hot temperature and then you drop it into a bucket of combustible material and just catch it all on fire. And so it's really super satisfying. And we did a raku workshop last summer, which was hot as all get. I mean, it was the middle of summer in Georgia and we're outside setting things on fire because we're insane people. Yeah. So But yeah, I had one piece that when he put, you know, we have a little bitty kiln, so he was doing them kind of one piece at a time. So thankfully I didn't blow up anybody else's piece. But yeah, he was like, he's looking at it and watching the temperature, because you have to monitor the temperature really carefully. Sure. For a raku firing, you know, because you're bringing it up to temperature really quickly. Mm. As opposed to, you know, just a regular firing where you kind of can automatically set it and it gradually comes up to temperature and then it gradually comes back down. So raku is volatile that way. And so if you've got any moisture or any little air bubbles trapped in those pieces at all, boom. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what happened. It just sort of, it didn't explode with like a satisfying, you know, kabloom or anything. It just sort of crumbled, really. Sure. But sure. Yeah. Yeah, but it did blow up in the I have had stuff blow up in the kiln.
Well, I got I have one last question about how things work in that world. Like in sports, there are people who dominate, right? So you're like, oh, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, other things, like even the Maker world, everyone thinks Adam Savage is sort of the lord of all that, right? So they have their sure. their superheroes within that world. Does pottery have anybody like that? It's like they're
there are a couple. So
Jordy, right?
one guy that I watch a lot, his name is Florian Gadsby, and he's got a whole YouTube series and everything, but he's like such a celebrity in the Potter world. I had not heard of him before I watched the Great British Pottery Throwdown, but boy howdy were the contestants on that show excited for him to be on there.
A guy named Florian Gadsby was destined to make pottery. That name is
right.
Right, exactly. It's almost right there in the name, practically. Yeah.
Ooh, his stuff's really pretty. Wow.
Oh, yeah. He does beautiful work effortlessly. It's amazing. Another person that I watch a lot, the name of his YouTube channel is Earth Nation Ceramics. I don't know what his last name is, but his first name is Dante. And so we all, like all of us in the community studio, we all talk about stuff that Dante says, you know.
Really?
And Dante's videos are more geared toward sort of tutorials, and you know, teaching beginners, that kind of thing. You could tell he mentions stuff that his students do, so you could tell he teaches in person classes and stuff.
Does
like
he use
that,
a Killin or an Inferno?
Oh, I see. Dante.
I think both. I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay. I could feel the slow gear in my brain click over to getting it.
And,
yeah.
And those of us looking at the chat, Mark Flazer, I said it first before your thing popped up.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't give Brian any shit.
Oh, look, he's got like double dungeon. Oh, that's cool. Dungeon Master mugs. This guy's great.
Oh, that's cool.
I like his work a lot.
I love the combining of geek pop culture and pottery, because I feel like there's so many places to go with that. It's like the maker community using resin or using foam or using plastics and stuff like that to make geek pop culture stuff. Pottery is just one more way to do it.
Yep.
This is good. Oh yeah, for sure. There's a TikTok account that I follow called Crackpot Crockery, and she says, I make pottery for nerds, and she made like a cookie jar that was a Bob-omb.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is amazing, because like spheres are like some of the hardest things to make, as you can kind of imagine, right? It was incredible looking, and she's made some she made like a I think like a Kirby cookie jar also, and I mean it's just amazing stuff. And she makes, you know, all kinds of pottery stuff, mugs and things, and it's really, really entertaining.
Maybe you'll be the next big pottery influencer. You ever think about that? It could be you.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Could be. But at this point, I'm just very happy, like, learning a new thing and then having a channel to have my friends come hang out with me and post my videos. And kind of as an encouragement for people to see, like, yep, it's okay to do goofy things. Like, you got to fail before you can't. Nobody throws down a piece of clay their first day and does something that looks like Florian Gadsby. He has been doing this for years and years and years and years and years. So I don't know. I kind of like showing the in progress pieces, because I think we kind of all get in our mindset like, oh, I'm not good at this, so I'm not going to do it. So I think it's kind of cool to show like, hey, I'm a big dork learning a new thing.
Yeah. For sure.
It's okay.
Learn it with
it's
me. Okay. Come learn it with
yeah.
me.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay to be a beginner. It's okay to not be great at everything. And sure. then, you know, occasionally you'll get somebody who does know what they're doing go, hey, try this. That might help you or whatever. And sure. Mostly my comments have been really encouraging and like, oh my gosh, this piece is beautiful. Stuff like that. So
did you get rid of, you haven't seen leg guy or whoever that was again? He's done. He's out, right?
The guy. Oh yeah. Shows your leg.
Yeah. No, that was on Twitch. And like, I have never since you suggested doing the YouTube thing, I was like, okay, so that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I haven't gone live on Twitch since then. I've just been using YouTube.
Nice. So, well, I really like your channel, so keep it up over there.
Thank you.
But today we're going to talk about reading. I have this clip here, but I don't, you probably have some setup for this. What do you got going here?
Yeah. So do you remember way back in the day, you had a show called Forecast?
I do.
And I was a guest on Forecast long, long time ago. And for those who may not know, the format of that show was we had to make predictions, and mm-hmm. it was like a near future prediction, a not so near future prediction, but not like super in the future. And then like ridiculous, like we're all going to be long dead before this happens prediction.
Oh yeah.
And so my ridiculous, we're all going to be long dead prediction was that, you know, people always talk about how smart dolphins are, but mm-hmm. actually like octopuses are incredibly smart also. So I predicted that like way off in the stupid future, there would be some kind of a weird hybrid of an octopus and a dolphin.
Okay.
And that would be what would rule the earth. Like humans would be long Love extinct, it. Long gone. And like what would rule the earth would be like a dolphin octopus hybrid that Tom Merritt then dubbed the Dolph Octopus. And I think the name of the episode was actually Rise of the Dolph Octopus.
I believe that is correct. I think I even have that episode. That was a long time ago. Wow. All right.
Yep. So anyway, so that's my setup for why this book attracted me. And yeah, it's me reading it because I didn't like the Audible sample. So there you go.
Well, all right then. Here you go. Here's Amy reading from this.
Now, more trash to collect. She empties the bins in the lobby, the can outside the restrooms, then ends in the break room with its endless crumbs on the counter. My word, she says, scolding the empty room. Empty takeout cartons on the floor. She picks up the cartons and tosses them in the trash can, which oddly has been scooted several feet over from its usual spot. Then she sees it. Something underneath. A brownish-orange clump shoved in the corner. A sweater? Tova kneels, preparing to fetch it and stash it in Mackenzie's cubby. But then the clump moves. A tentacle moves. Good heavens! The octopus's eye materializes from somewhere in the fleshy mass. Its marble pupil widens, then its eyelid narrows, reproachful. Tova blinks, not convinced her own eyes are working properly. How could the giant Pacific octopus be out of his tank? The arm moves again. The creature is tangled in the mess of power cords. How many times has she cursed those cords? They make it impossible to properly sweep. You're stuck, she whispers, and the octopus heaves his huge bulbous head straining on one of his arms, around which a thin power cord, the kind used to charge a cell phone, is wrapped several times.
Seems bad for the octopus to have that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Interesting. Yeah. So is that a sentient octopus? We just don't know it yet. Is it like a... Not sentient. They're all sentient, but you know what I mean. Is it like going to suddenly start talking? I've evolved and made your forecast prediction come true.
No, nothing quite that fantastical, but it is pretty fun. The name of this book is Remarkably Bright Creatures, and it's by Shelby Van Pelt. And it is a novel about this old woman named Tova who is she basically sweeps up and cleans. She's the cleaning lady at an aquarium. And her favorite creature there is this curmudgeonly giant Pacific octopus named Marcellus. And very strangely, they gain this connection because she helps him become unstuck from the cords that he's trapped in. And then it's weird. The octopus actually starts helping her solve a mystery from her past. Mm. And it doesn't talk or anything, but it finds ways to sort of communicate with her other ways. And the book itself is fun because it flip-flops between the octopus's perspective and, you know, the other people in the novel. And I gotta tell you, I actually like the octopus parts better.
It sounds crazy.
The people parts.
How do they do it? Do they do it just like, I guess I need to read the book. That sounds fascinating. Yeah. How you would do that? How would you give voice to an octopus?
Right.
Like their inner monologue.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the really fun part is that the octopus is very arrogant and he thinks in full, you know, English sentences and whatnot. And he said at one point, like the first chapter of the book, he says, "Yes, I can read. Mm. You'd be surprised all the things that I can do." And, you know, and he's, of course, sneaking out of his tank at night. And it's great. It's a lot of fun. He's, like I say, he's very arrogant because he sort of looks down his beak, I guess, at the other creatures in the tank because they are not so intelligent as he. And so he's very lonely. And so he just gets this little connection with this cleaning lady who was kind to him. And yeah, it's good.
That
it's fun.
Adorable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I like
and
the concept.
She has, you know, she's an old lady with like a, you know, very storied life and some tragedy in her past and whatnot. And so this octopus sort of helps her along the way. And wow, it's pretty good. I like it.
Recommended, you'd say.
Yes. Yes, I do. Cool. I do recommend
it. Well, very nice. Go check it out. Give them the title one more time.
Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt.
Looks like it is everywhere that I can see. And that all the Amazon things, the Kindles, the audiobooks, the whatnots. So grab your copy today.
Very cool.
Amy, always good talking to you. You're at Red Fraggle on YouTube and doing stuff here and there. Anything coming up you want to mention?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, I've got the bee jars should be coming out of the kiln either today or tomorrow, sometime in there. So look for a video about the final result there. And I'll probably be doing another stream within a day or two to probably to decorate some pieces because I have been doing so much practicing with throwing that I have amassed like a huge collection of unfinished things. So I need to finish some things. And so I'll probably be doing some cool decorating techniques on a stream.
Funny how that also parallels 3D printing, right? It's like, oh man, I'm so much stuff coming out of 3D printer that I've made. Oh, I really have to start like painting some of these things that I've printed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. I've got like my shelf runneth over at the community studio, so I had to take some stuff home.
Yeah,
because I was gonna say
they probably limit how much space everybody can access at any time, right? You can't just
get one shelf and it's got your name on it and that's your shelf and that's it. That's your space. If you have a nice instructor and you're making something really big, then they'll let you, you know, like have space on their shelf or something like that. But a lot of times the instructors have so much unfinished crap that they don't have any space either.
Yep. So, everyone's got their own shelf. It's like the future. We're going to have to live on our shelf and not move. You know, it's going to be how we live.
Right.
I see it as a series of containers. That's how I see the future. We're going to live like,
it's not a series of tubes. It's a series of containers.
Yeah. A series of containers. Like, like Bruce Willis in his weird, you know, squared off thing he lived in Fifth Element, like that. That's how we're all
going to
live.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
And the showers
like
are getting lowered
down.
Like
those weird hotels in Japan.
Yeah.
Where
those
like
capsule hotels.
I have to admit, some part of that is a little appealing to me. Is that weird?
To basically say, get rid of all my crap and let me just have a place, you
yeah.
know, clutter free. Mm-hmm. There's something to
there that. Is something, right? I don't know what it is. Yeah. And I'm not actually yeah. asking for it, but I know it. It's weird. Anyway, Amy, yeah,
I want it.
I hope your week is awesome and that you have a good one. Until we see you next time, stay safe.
Thanks. Have a good weekend, y'all.
Bye.
Nice. You too. Bye.
I'll throw some clay. Hey, look at this. Oh, that soothing music from your past, your childhood, says that it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Coverville, where there will be no Coverville today. Yeah, as mentioned before, training ride, that's going to take me a couple hours, at least, and recovery from that, and because of all the writing, have not had time to prep a show. But if I did, it would have been a Cyndi Lauper show, and it would have been great. But you know what? I'm going to do it next week, so you'll get your Cyndi Lauper next week. Probably Cyndi Lauper and George Michael. Let's just drill right into the 80s. And maybe Colin Hay from Men at Work, because all three of them had milestone birthdays.
I was going to ask.
Today being Cyndi Lauper's birthday.
I was hoping something bad hadn't happened to Cyndi Lauper, but it's just her birthday.
Nope.
Okay.
Whew. Nope. Just her birthday. And all it's right. today, as a matter of fact. Happy birthday, Cyndi Lauper.
She's a national treasure.
She is.
Okay. Someone should interview and ask her if she ever did finally have fun, you know? Because girls just want to have fun. So did you finally have some
ready
fun?
Ready for me to blow your mind?
Uh-oh. What? Is that a cover?
That's a cover. Girls Just Want to Have Fun is a cover by a guy. The original version is by a guy named Robert Hazard.
Really?
Yes.
Robert Hazard.
Yes.
I've never heard that before in my life.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Wow. And he sang about girls having fun? Or did she change
it? He did.
It?
Okay. He sang it. He didn't change the lyrics or anything. It was Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
All right.
I think he does. He does change it third person. She comes home in the morning light. Her father says, "When are you going to live your life right?" Et cetera.
Oh, I see. So yeah. some of that yeah. you can fiddle with, but it makes
you
sense.
You had to, yeah.
Didn't that have Lou Albano in the video?
The Captain Lou Albano was her dad in
That's
the video.
Right. Yes. He's something with the brothers. Beep, beep, beep. I was thinking of him as the Mario guy in that show. That horrible Mario live action
right.
cartoon thing.
Oh my God, yeah, right.
Well, here's a couple stories for you. Nearly 14,000 pounds of pork rinds shipped from Guatemala have been recalled in the U.S. Sorry, pork rind lovers.
Oh,
I know. Real shame.
I tried to think of a brand name. Not Funyuns. Those are onions. It's right there in the name. But it's like, I can't think of any actual brands of pork rinds.
Yeah. I feel like whenever I get pork rinds, I never think of brand, right?
Right. We don't go, no, you have to go with Lay's. You have to go with Ruffles. It's like, yeah, whatever this pork rind bag with the orange writing is on it. Fine.
So it says here, the snag bags are 5.3 ounces containing Tortrix con Chicharron.
Yeah.
And we're shipped to Guatemala, which is a country ineligible to export meat products in the U.S. And yes, they are considered meat products.
Sure.
Even though they come like they sit next to the chip.
They feel like, they feel like potato chips, but those are absolutely meat based.
There's meat in there. Bags do not have an establishment number nor a USDA mark of inspection. The items were shipped to wholesale and retail locations in Georgia, New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Virginia. The ineligible bags. I played the bass for ineligible bag for a year or two before they broke up.
And I did mispronounce chicharron.
Chicharron.
Not chicharron, chicharron.
It sounded great either way. I thought
it did, but I stand corrected. Thank you for correcting my pronunciation. Coming from a state that has such a great Latin community, I mispronounced it.
People always think it's nothing but white bread here in Utah, but we have massive Hispanic population, Islander folks, all that kind of stuff. We have the best food.
Tongans, right? Like tons of Tongans.
Samoans.
Or Samoans,
and they hate each other. Yeah. They don't like each other. There's always fighting between those two. Even in high school, like the Samoan kid and the Tongan kid in school hated each other's guts. It was weird. but get out of North Carolina. Actually, you know what? Everyone stay where you're at. I don't want house prices going up any more than they already are.
Right, there exactly.
Stay where you are.
Get out of our states.
Yeah, quit it. It's really weird here. Don't come here. It's weird. There, I've done my work. Anyway, these went to all these places. The reports of adverse reactions due to consumption of these products have been confirmed. Anyone concerned about reaction should contact a health provider. I'm guessing this is one of the reactions right here.
Diarrhea.
Among other things, if I had to guess. So don't be eating no pork rinds that you're not sure about, okay?
Yeah.
I don't mind a pork rind here and there. They're okay.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't think I'm in any reason to worry here because we don't have any, but just be on the lookout, everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Food recalls from weird sources.
Mm. Yeah.
Here's one. A gas station. Speaking of stuff you get at a gas station. Gas station clerk asked a friend to rob the store so he could go home early. Tired.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
It's a pretty good little scam.
Like the police, police are just going to say, all right, well, the store's been robbed. You can go home. We don't need any sort of statement from you or anything like that. Don't need to stick around and tell us, what the guy looked like.
As a gas station employee in Tulsa is where this happened, is accused of asking a friend to find someone to rob the store so he could go home early. According to the Tulsa Police Department, the investigation began when the employee,
I was wrong with Chicharron, so.
Isaias? I'm not sure.
I think Isaias. I-S-A-I-A-S?
Isaias. I would say you would be right. I would put money on your bet there.
Okay.
All right. Reported a man walked into the store June 5th, handed him a note that read, "Give me all your money or I will shoot you." All right. Very specific. Sure. Jones complied, and then the suspect left with the cash. Investigators later identified Stephen Jones, no relation to the suspect, and arrested him on June 8th. However, police said there were more to the story than what first appeared. Stephen Jones confessed to the robbery, but said his friend Aaliyah Locke set him up for the crime because Isaias Jones had asked her to get somebody who could rob the store so he could get out of there. So it's actually three people.
So there's a third person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Clerk asked a friend to ask someone else to come rob the place. Anyway, they're all in trouble now. They're all busted.
Freaking these, complicated. Just the guy just wanted some time off from the come and go or the loaf and jug or whatever it is that he's working at.
Oh, we're getting some come and goes here.
Is that the worst named convenience store?
Well, they even
and it
do
all
the,
has to do with the spelling of the word.
Yeah, they do right? K, right? Is it a K? Or what do they
it's
do?
K, and it's just K U M. It's not even like it's.
I don't like it.
Why not spell it C-O-M-E and go, come and go?
Yeah.
Oh, great. It looks great. It looks fine, but...
Yeah. Ugh. Makes me never want to eat. Like on the front page, the first thing they advertise is the snacks on the go and their fresh pizza. I don't want any of your food.
No.
I might get your gas. That's it. Then I'm done.
Nope.
Well, they're hiring, Brian. Look at this. They're hiring.
I don't want to work at the come and go. Apparently, they're hiring in Tulsa.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm sure there's an opening there at that one.
Brand new, fresh opening. In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Left-hand heathen, you seriously don't have a place called Pump and Munch, do you? Oh, my God. Please tell me you've got a gas station called the Pump and Munch.
Really? The Pump and Munch?
Pump and Munch.
I already don't like... what's the one store?
I thought you're supposed to munch before you pump.
People have their methods, Brian. Different methods, different... different whatevers they have, proclivities, let's say.
Yeah.
A Tampa woman, let's go to Florida for a minute. A Tampa woman left her mansion and her inheritance, the entirety of it, she's a rich lady, left it all to her seven cats.
Love it.
Yeah.
Great.
Her son died. So anyway, her two great loves became shopping and her cats. Shopping was her problem, says her friend. You couldn't buy just one. She'd buy 20 or 30 of something. That sounds like a hoarder to me.
It does. Totally does. That's how she ended up with seven cats. You couldn't buy just one. I need seven cats.
Yeah. Seven cats, please. She's got all kinds of crap in here. There were more than 50 Dale Tiffany floor and lamp tables or table lamps, around 5,000 pieces of jewelry and over 200 Austin Productions statues and figurines. Like, this is expensive stuff.
Wow. Wow.
Anyway, the cats get it all. And the way the deal works, the deal is the house will not be sold until the cats have passed away, all seven of them.
Oh my gosh, really? But somebody has to live there and take care of the cats, right?
I think so.
Is it a?
It doesn't say, but you'd have
a relative
to.
Or?
Let's see. Yeah, they don't say.
Yeah. Do they need me to live there?
The cat. Yeah, Brian could do it. 4,000 square
I'll do
feet.
It.
Brian,
how's the
South
Wi-Fi?
Tampa.
Before I commit.
Yeah.
How's the Wi-Fi?
$2.5 million.
Yeah, I'd be fine mansion. With that.
Yeah.
I can until the cats die, I would do everything I could to keep those cats alive as long as possible.
No, of course you would. Let's see. 7 times 9. They have 9 lives each. What's the math on that?
63.
Oh, my God.
So 63
God.
Lives. I would.
63 lives.
They would live as long as 63 lives.
That's not good.
I love it. There was we had a similar story. When I saw the headline, I thought, oh, it's the story here in Colorado. There's a woman who stipulated in her will. So she passed away. She has 4 Persian cats. And she says she'll pay somebody $300,000 to take care of them. But the $3,000 goes to the cat's care. So basically, they get the cats. Yeah. They take care of the cats. And every purchase, they take a receipt to somebody who then reimburses them for what they purchased for the cats.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I would ever do that. I don't think I would. That sounds like not a great deal for the caretaker, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems like such a...
I mean, I guess you are covering the cost of the cat maintenance, but you're still the person having to deal with them all the time.
Like, yeah.
Do you get reimbursed for when the cat yaks on the couch? Do you get money for that?
No, this is the same. This is the same lady. This is the same Florida 7 cats. So it's, I found the article. Let me see here. 2.5 million South Tampa home.
Oh yeah,
the Humane Society has about $300,000 sour set aside to cover the cost to care for the 7 cats for the rest of their lives. So if you adopt, she left money to fund all the vet care, all the grooming, all the food, whatever these cats need. Basically, you just take a receipt to the Dumb Friends League, and they reimburse you for everything spent. So, Kat needs a new big screen TV. Okay, Kat got a big screen TV.
It's like free cheeseburgers at a restaurant or something for life or whatever. You just
right. There's
going
still
in.
The stipulation. You've got to drive to the restaurant to get the cheeseburger.
Yeah. Yeah.
These things all sound great on paper, but...
When it gets real inconvenient really fast, I think.
Yeah.
Just go get a regular cat. Avoid this lady, everyone.
Just a regular
cat. Nothing special about her cats, okay?
Right.
Everything will be fine. I think that'll do it for that.
All right.
Let's get to this email real quick, and then we're going to end the show. Now, people are going to be like, wait a minute. No Wendy today? No. No Wendy today. 2 reasons. 1, I have a meeting, but even if it wasn't for that, Wendy is, I almost said balls deep. Wendy is very busy getting stuff going for her daughter's big birthday bash, and my wife and my sister Misha, they're all out in Minnesota today.
They're out there to help.
Yeah, so she wanted to make sure she was as available as possible, and it makes total sense. So no Wendy this week. Also, we have to end it early because I got a meeting earlier than I thought. And Brian's got to get on his bike and get that.
I'm
going to
go get on a bike ride, and it's 69 degrees. Nice. So,
nice.
Nice. That's a nice temperature.
That's a really nice temp. I love it.
That's a little bit of the old munchin pump.
Oh, man. So that's what we're going to do. But I'm going to give you an email before we go from Scooby Dad. He could call himself Shaggy because it wasn't Shaggy basically Scooby's dad.
I don't think Shaggy was Scooby's dad.
Well, not his birth dad, but you know what I mean.
Not biologically.
Yeah, no, that's true. Was Scooby Dumb related and Scrappy? Were they all part
Scooby
of the...
Scooby Dumb were cousins, and Scrappy were cousins. And I think we met an older... Was that Scooby Dumb was the older one? I thought we...
I don't know if Dumb was older. Boy, yeah. He sure got the short end of that stick, didn't he?
He really did.
Yeah. We all hate Scrappy, but Scooby Dumb was a bummer. Anyway,
oh, gosh, yeah. Thank God. If they would have made Scooby Dumb a regular, that was the problem with Scrappy, is they made Scrappy a regular instead of just like a little one-off kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, Scooby.
Scooby Dumb was a once-in-a-while character. Yeah.
Yeah, for often. Sure. Scooby apparently has daddy issues, is what we've learned.
That's what we've learned. So now we hear this email from Scooby Dad, who says, Dear Scungully and Biscotti.
Cool.
I don't know.
Scungili.
Is it Scungili? Scungili. Yeah. All right.
I think, but again, you know, not a great track record today.
Yeah. It's usually me with these words. In episode 24 of 79, which would have been not too many days ago.
Yeah.
The 14th looks like. You were discussing Italian accents and played a couple of clips from NYPD Blue. That was not an Italian accent. It was a Brooklyn accent. Growing up on the Jersey Shore, we'd hear this from the Bernies, or the Bennies, sorry. We would hear from the Bennies, a term we used for the tourists that invaded every summer, and that was the accent that they had. Forget about it, he says.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. My God, that's hilarious.
I think... yeah, it's a good point, but they are always Italian people doing the voice. So even if it's a Brooklyn accent, they're Italian immigrants in Brooklyn. Almost always. Like, not always, but almost always, that's how they're portrayed. I'm not saying correctly portrayed, but that's how... Like, this dude in this show, very Italian. Like, full-blooded, full-blown, let's be full Italian, this guy. And then he had that accent. So yes, that's not an Italian accent. I didn't realize we were... sort of suggesting that. We don't mean that.
Oh gosh, no.
No. No. But Italian guys with like street tough Brooklyn accents, and when they're over the top like that, they drive me freaking nuts. And I don't know why, like The Sopranos gets away with it.
Yeah.
Because there's some over the top stuff. Maybe it's because the overall quality of it is so good, it doesn't matter, but
I think so. And I just think that it's like, you know, you could see one or two people being like that are in the that are in the New Jersey Mafia.
Yeah. True enough. Thanks for that email. And the email he used was, what is our email? themorningstream@gmail.com is the address. themorningstream@gmail.com. You can also text us if you want, 801-471-0462. We got some of those for next week. And that is going to do it for today's show. A reminder, we need your help over at patreon.com/TMS. Without it, the show doesn't exist. Imagine a world without it entirely. It just doesn't exist. That's the world.
I can't imagine it.
I can't either.
Can't imagine it. I don't want to
even think about that idea. It's a terrible idea. So let's make that never happen by joining us over at patreon.com/TMS. Okay, people? All right.
Okay.
Brian, let's get out of here. You got a song?
I do have a song. This one is going out to Ryan Norda, a.k.a. Ryo Atemi, when he's in the chat room. Hello, Scratch and Bum. That's an easy one. It's my 44th birthday.
Oh, shit.
Let's party.
A little slow on the click take there. Yeah.
And it has been a great birthday week, which was way back on June 8th, by the way. Sorry. Just getting to this one now. I do need requests for next week, the last week of June. So if you've got requests, get them in. He says, let's see, a great first of hopefully many more Utah Tadpole meetups to watch Spider-Man. Oh, he went with you guys to see Spider-Man. That's awesome.
Provo Ryan. Duh. Okay. Yeah. I never get his... nickname. I'm bad at this part. This is where I'm bad, you guys.
I see you in person and I'm like, you're
that guy. I don't know.
Exactly. I'm horrible at that too.
Brian's awesome.
Let's see. If you could please play a cover of Billy Joel's The Downeaster, Alexa, and if I could get some sausage for my big day. Just seeing that trigger it. Oh, it didn't. Okay.
Oh, very nice.
I was thinking it was going to trigger my Echo device.
I'm
so
impressed.
He wanted to hear a cover of that song, which is named after Billy Joel's daughter. I'm not going to say the name again because I don't want to trigger everybody's thing. Well, I will say it one last time here. Here's a Show of Hands from 2000 with their cover from their album Covers, Natch, of Billy Joel's The Downeaster, Alexa.
Nice. See you guys for all the other shows this weekend. We got Core. We got Film Sack. We got all kinds of stuff. So come back for that, and we'll see you Monday.
While I'm on the Downeaster, Alexa, and I'm cruising through Block Island Sound, I have charted a course to the vineyard, but tonight I am Nantucket bound. We took on diesel back in Montauk yesterday and left this morning from the Bell in Gardner's Bay. Like all the locals here, I've had to sell my home. Too proud to leave, I work my fingers to the bone. So I could own my Downeaster, Alexa, and I'd go where the ocean is deep. There are giants out there in the canyons, and a good captain can't fall asleep. Well, I got bills to pay and children to need clothes. I know there's fish out there, but where God only knows. They say these waters aren't what they used to be,
But I've got people back on land to count on me.
So if you see my Downeaster Alexa, and if you work with the rod and the reel, tell my wife I am trawling Atlantis, and I still have my hands on the wheel.
I was a fey man like my father was before, but you can't make a living as a fey man anymore. There ain't much future for a man who works the sea, and there's no island left for islanders like me.
Now I drive my Downeaster Alexa more and more miles from shore every year. Since they told me I can't sell no stripers, and there's no luck in sword fishing here.
Get more at frogpants.com.
There's the damn Superman.
There's the damn Superman. There's the damn Superman.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.